Okay, Mr. Autry. Rapun versus Primal Vantage Company.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
The district court basically excluded the experts and reached the summary judgment opinion on causation grounds. Essentially, the court found that we did not meet, or the plaintiff did not meet, the causation standard of connecting a defect to their injury. The district court said there are several scenarios where this might have happened. I think, unfortunately, the district court did not go in depth into these possible scenarios, whereas our experts did. So I'm going to start with the scenarios that are either four or five, depending on who's counting, but I think you have a few categories. The first is improper insertion of, or improper use, basically user error. I think there's a few subsets here. So in the deposition testimony, and defendants pointed out that you could have just missed the loop with the pin, and so it doesn't connect to the apparatus, essentially. You have the pin inserted, but it's not connected to anything. I think our expert, Rasty, explained why that would be not the case here and did a good job of ruling that out. Basically, if it was never inserted into the loop, you wouldn't have been able to climb up a few rings, essentially, to get 7 feet off the ground. Secondarily, the plaintiff's testimony is that he heard a pop before he fell, and also, under that scenario, the clip would have never come off of the bar, right? So the clip was on the ground next to him where he hit the ground. The second sort of user error scenario is that plaintiff just didn't try to connect it at all, that essentially just left it in a C formation and never tried to connect the clip to the pin. That's inconsistent with plaintiff's testimony as well.
I mean, I speak only for myself, but it seems to me that your experts were entitled to rely on your client's version of events in providing their theory, assuming they met all the other Daubert requirements, but they can certainly, since he was the only eyewitness to how it was put up, I think they could reasonably rely on his version of events and then from there decide whether or not they could opine on the cause. So for me, this is a pretty simple case. I think they were entitled to rely on his version of events and then provide an opinion. And there were no other Daubert findings by the district court on why they should be excluded. So the case is relatively simple, at least for me.
Your Honor, I think I agree with 100% of your words.
I'm sure you agree with Judge Jordan. Can you answer a question about Avalon's, is it Avalon or
Avalon.
Avalon. So the district court said that there was a difference between his deposition testimony and his expert report, that there was this mechanical versus visual difference. Could you address that ruling by the district court?
In his report, and I believe when he was talking about the alternative design in his deposition as well, when he was talking about mechanical, he's talking about like screwing a nut onto the end of the pin so that it can't come off unless the user actually removes it physically or mechanically. And so I don't think he was saying that it was impossible with this design or with an alternative design for it to be removed if the pin isn't connected to anything. And so I think that was the difference there. I think his testimony in his deposition is consistent with the false latch theory, which is that this particular design, if it pops onto the end, but the pin does not go fully through the hole there, that it sort of appears like it's connected, but it hasn't actually connected. And that was, I believe, the issue that the district court had with the plaintiff's testimony, because the plaintiff said that the plaintiff would check regularly before going up and that the plaintiff was being prudent. And our expert said that even a prudent person using this device might be mistaken as to whether the pin was fully inserted. And there was an example here of the plaintiff's father who actually testified that he was working his way up the tree after checking each pin and then noticed that one had sort of popped out a little bit or was never popped in to begin with. So that's the issue of whether the false latch is possible given the plaintiff's testimony.
One of the other things the district court said in its order, in excluding the expert testimony from your two experts, was that they disregarded other plausible causes because they didn't match the plaintiff's version of events. Can you comment on that?
Sure. I think in any sort of causation, specific causation, you've got to rule out other plausible causes. And I think if you look at Rasty's opinion, that definitely happened here. And Rasty is our causation expert. It's not Avalon. And so Rasty ruled out the tree as causing the condition based upon the appearance of the tree. Rasty ruled out user error based upon the plaintiff's testimony, both about the plaintiff's prudence, but also about hearing the pop before the fall, which rules out a lot of the alternative scenarios. And I think if you look at the clothing alternative scenario, I think that's an interesting one because Rasty actually says that would be a defect. If your pants leg could pull it out, could pull the pin out, it should be stronger than that. I mean, you're talking about needing to go tens of feet off the ground. Simply getting it a little bit caught on your pants leg, that pulling it out, that would also be a sign of a defect. I think that's also true for the he fell first scenario. Rasty ruled that out because, again, he heard the pop before he fell, so it's inconsistent with the plaintiff's testimony. But in addition, that would also be a sign of a defect. It should be able to hold your body weight. So if he's just like starting to lose his balance and that causes the tree stand to fall apart, that would be a sign that the latch is defective itself. So I think a lot of these alternative scenarios, it's significant to recognize that even if they are alternatives from it just came out on its own, they're still signs of a defect.
Yes. And one of the things the district court said was it excluded Rasty's opinion in part because Primal Vantage's expert testified that a load would make a difference in the force. That a load would make a difference in the force it would take to release a quick clip. And then it said it would, the district court said, it did not have to credit Rasty's opinion if it were based on speculation, and then explain why the opposing expert conducted a test that included a user weight load on the tree stand. This seems to me to just be picking one expert over another.
I think that's true, and I also think it's a misunderstanding of when the load is actually pulling on the pin. So the testimony in this case by the father of the plaintiff, as well as by our expert, is that the motion is happening when your weight is on the foot, on the feet stand. And that's when there's no weight on the pin. The motion is when, that's when you're lifting it up, and that's when it's shimmying around. So there actually is not 205 pounds pushing on the pin when the pin is in motion. So I think in here, he had just moved it up the second or third time, and then he goes back to sit on it, and it had become dislodged, and he fell down. So I think there is a battle of the experts as to the extent that the weight would matter when the weight is engaged of the plaintiff on the when they're sitting down. But I also think that the defense expert does not show or demonstrate that there's no defect when the stand is actually being moved. Okay. Well, I understand that I might not have any more questions. The last thing I would just say, barring no questions, is the district court also addressed the alternatives. I think it's significant here that unlike all of the cases that are cited by the district court on this issue and cited by defense counsel on this issue, our expert did test the alternatives and actually pulled on a bolt with a nut on it and said this would not come out with just ordinary pressure. It requires about three times the amount of pressure. And as far as the possibility that a nut would not be threaded tightly, the expert testimony by both of our experts is that it still wouldn't come off. That if you only screwed it in a little bit, essentially the square would fit into the bar. And if you look at the alternative designs with this, the screw is attached to the bar, so it's never separated. And I see that I still have some time left, but I've gone through everything that I have to say.
Mr. Autry, if you'll sit down, I'll give you 5 minutes for rebuttal if you need it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Karfus.
Good morning. Milton Karfus on behalf of Primal Vantage. May it please the court. Your Honor, this case, as you point out, is about proximate cause. And the problem here is their experts are cherry-picking what they want to rely upon. And to support their opinions, they have two proximate cause opinions that they believe may have occurred. This false latch position in which the user doesn't properly close the latch. This is a made-up term. Mr. Rasty, who used this term, this is not a term in engineering. This is not a term that applies to quick clips. Mr. Rasty has zero experience with quick clips. Mr. Avalon, their fastener expert, has zero experience in his 45 years.
The problem is that the district court didn't do a Daubert analysis,
right,
or rely on those sorts of grounds to exclude the experts.
Right.
I get what you're saying, okay. But it seems to me that the reasons the district court gave, to me at least, seem suspect.
Okay, I can get that feeling. But to address what the district court did was, the first position was this false latch position. That the plaintiff's testimony was very vague in many areas. He didn't know how the accident occurred. He was said he was sitting on the seat climber, the back bar, when the accident occurred. He claims he put the quick clips on properly. He was very certain about that. But other than that, he didn't know what happened. He basically heard a pop, and that was it. And for this false latch theory to have any water, have any validity, it's directly contrary to plaintiff's only, almost only clear testimony, is that the quick clips were properly secured. The quick clips, if you know what a quick clip is from the, I'm sure the pleadings, it's a very simple device. These quick clips have been around for 30 years in this industry in tree stands.
But if you believe his testimony, one of the possible, just thinking of it in layman's terms without putting an expert gloss on it, if he inserted it properly, is that it failed due to some defect. Right? That's one possible cause, and that's what one of the experts testified to.
And the question is, what is that cause? The other theory that Mr. Rasty has is this false latch thing, which he never proved, and it's contrary to the plaintiff's testimony. And the second one is this unknown, mysterious force that's going to grab this quick clip and pull it off. These quick clips have been around for 30 years in the industry. This is their preferred method to secure not only this model, this manufacturer, but literally the entire industry for 30 years. There are literally hundreds of millions of times where people have climbed with these tree stands with these quick clips, and this doesn't happen.
This sounds like a great jury argument, but I just don't understand what it has to do with whether this expert testimony is admissible.
Well, the point being is this unknown force. I mean, the expert, he speculates that some unknown force could have pulled this out. Without talking about speculation, the expert has to rely upon his opinions. An expert's got no experience in this. He provides his opinion with no basis, no testing. The testing that Mr. Rasty did was taking a zip tie, pulling it at the end of the quick clip, and pulling it horizontally with no load on it, nobody standing on the tree stand. That's never going to happen in the real world.
Right. Those arguments go to methodology, and I get it. And you may have arguments to make under Daubert, but did you move to exclude the experts under Daubert?
Yes, absolutely. We filed two separate motions.
The court never, as far as I can tell, never issued a separate Daubert order, right?
Correct.
This sort of encapsulates almost everything for me. The district court said there is no way to assure, quote, that the quick clips were properly fastened. Therefore, the expert opinion of Mr. Avalon cannot stand and must be excluded. You've got the plaintiff's testimony saying, I properly fastened this thing. He's the only eyewitness. What else do you need on that point to get past summary judgment?
Because the experts have opined that he must have been wrong. It must have been improperly set. He must have been in a false latch position. That's their opinions. So they're absolutely disregarding the plaintiff's clear testimony when it comes to that issue. The proximate cause, their theories, is that this false latch.
But the district court also said that one of the reasons she was excluding the two experts was, part of the two experts, was because they just simply followed his version of events.
When it came
you
to...
You can't have both going on.
That goes to the reliability of these experts. The experts completely ignore the plaintiff's testimony that he properly inserted, showing the photographs during his deposition. I took the deposition, showed him the photographs, absolutely 100% certain it looked just like this, properly closed. And Mr. Rasty, in his opinion, says he must be wrong. It had to have been in this position. That's directly contrary to the testimony. So he's cherry-picking what he wants to rely upon to support his opinions. That goes to his reliability, and that was the basis of the district court's decision to grant the summary judgment. So their experts are cherry-picking information, and when there's direct contrary testimony from the only eyewitness here, the plaintiff, that completely undermines their theories. And that's what the district court, I think, the way I read their district court opinion, was that that's what he was relying upon.
The experts didn't rely on the plaintiff's testimony about what happened?
They did, but when it came to how he had set the quick clip, they ignored that. Because for that false latch theory to apply to be the proximate cause of this accident, they have to basically, and Mr. Rasty said, he must have been mistaken. He must have been wrong. That's directly contrary. And once again, the plaintiff's testimony, when it comes to what happened, is extremely vague. I took his deposition too. It was, I'm positive I had it shut properly. I climbed up a couple cycles. I was sitting on the back bar. And by the way, when you're sitting on the back bar, the quick clip won't come out. The testing we did, which they didn't do, shows that there's pressure on that pin. It can't pull out at that point. And that's when the accident occurred. That's directly contrary to all the physical evidence and also the experts, because their experts never tested that. And that's one of the other bases for this district court's ruling, was that you didn't test these things. You didn't test to prove your opinions. You provide these opinions which aren't supported by any testing.
When you say they didn't test it, you mean they didn't test it with load? Is that what you're talking
Correct.
About?
Correct. Okay. All Mr. Rassi do.
Yeah, and he tested it.
Well, sorry.
He tested it without a user weight load attached to attached the tree stand to a table leg, right?
And its testing was attaching it to a table, taking a zip tie, tying it to the end of the quick clip, and pulling it out, which, once again, just because you were testing.
Yeah, but the problem with the district court's rejection of that is it just says, oh, I think this other expert's more persuasive.
And I read that too in the opinion, but I also think the testing they did, what I said, was not a real world test, and it's not going to apply to the forces on this. At the
but
time,
it's not a Daubert.
I understand that, but I understand this goes to proximate cause. Well, not my position is that the proximate cause, the two theories that they have aren't consistent with the physical evidence, and you actually have to ignore the plaintiff's sworn testimony. And that goes with the also this unknown force. Experts aren't allowed to speculate. And their expert saying that some unknown force, he used the word a gazillion different things could have caused this to come out. I don't know. I have no idea what that is. That sure sounds like speculation to me and nothing concrete. The district court.
When you say the expert who said that, which one of them?
That was Mr. Rasty.
Rasty, okay.
He used the term a gazillion different things could have caused this quick clip to mysteriously pop out during use, which is really not going to happen because there's nothing really in contact with that area. And secondly, talking about the alternative theories, that's another basis for the dismissal of the court's dismissal, is their alternative theory is to use a nut and bolt type fixture to secure the cable in there. Number one, both experts agreed that, similar to a quick clip, a user can improperly install it and render it useless. There's been no proof that this was going to be safer. Now, Mr. Rassi did the same zip tie pull test non-real world with this application, but the reality is that there's been no testing to show that if this nut and bolt was on this product at the time of plaintiff's accident, that the same thing wouldn't have happened. There's no testing. It was just Mr. Avalon, who's the fastener expert, provided that opinion, but he couldn't say it was any safer either, and nobody did any testing.
Neither one of them said it was a better alternative?
Mr. Rasty said it was. Mr. Avalon, the fastener expert, he couldn't say it was any safer than the quick clip. He said you can thread it on there, but you can also improperly thread it. If you don't thread it properly, it renders the fixture useless.
Yeah, but I thought his testimony was that it was safer because there was a mechanical way to see whether it was connected or not. You could look at it and see, like, okay, it's actually on there, whereas with this, you could visually look at a quick clip, but you couldn't tell, you know, like you couldn't see a nut that had, like, gone onto a screw. Wasn't that his testimony?
I disagree with that 100%. Number one is the quick clip, when you're eyeballing it, you can look
Wait, do you disagree that that was his testimony, or disagree that his testimony is correct?
I believe that was his testimony.
That's the point, right?
Okay,
at this point, we're not determining whether his testimony was right or not, because that's a jury's job.
Sure, what I'm saying, okay. What his testimony was.
You can explain why you think his testimony was wrong. But,
sure. You know, his testimony, if I recall, was that with a quick clip, when it goes around the frame of the tree stand, the retaining clip, you can visually see that it is securing the quick clip. You can see it, you can touch it, you can see it. However, with the threaded with the threaded connection is that you can think it's threaded. It can just be just on the very tip, and that wing nut could come off. So you actually...
Yeah, but his testimony is there's no, as designed, there's no way to, mechanical way to ensure that it's properly fastened.
I disagree with that, because if you look at the quick clip, the retaining clip goes around, and it goes around the frame of the tree stand.
That's just disagreeing with what his testimony is.
Well, yes, I think it's common sense is that the quick clip, when it wraps around, you can visually see it, that it's on, whereas when a threaded application, you can't see if it's actually threaded once, twice, it's just barely on, or it's threaded numerous times. You cannot actually see that. So the quick clip gives the user the ability to visually see it's properly connected, and actually with their hands. With a threaded device, is you can't tell how many threads has been threaded on there, if it's just on, if it's misthreaded or whatever. So that's the second thing about the court's granting is the alternative design, is that once again they threw these things out there that aren't really used in the real world for the last 30 years. This carriage bolt and wing nut, this simply is not used.
And I thought there was some testimony, maybe I'm just wrong about this, that you have other models of tree stands that use connectors like this, mechanical
connectors.
Nothing
uses a carriage bolt and a wing nut. There are threaded applications with a knob, which are different.
Okay.
And once again, but the thing with those are more difficult to use, more difficult to apply.
Yeah.
And that's another alternative design, because the quick clip, that the current design for the last 30 years, is it's simple, it's safe to use, and the track record proves that. So... unless you have any other questions, I kind of feel where you guys are going with this, but I don't want to waste any more time. If you have any other questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Karfus.
Thank you.
Mr. Autry, I said you could have five. Do you need them?
I do not, Your Honor. I think I might need two at the most.
Okay.
I think it's important to recognize that I don't think the defendant or appellee has a single plausible theory they are proposing for what caused the accident that would not involve a defect. There's nothing consistent with the plaintiff's testimony that they could say on this record to render the expert's opinions unreliable as to the cause of the accident.
Well, they're going to argue that it's user error, right? I mean, isn't what they're going to argue?
Correct.
Yeah.
But on this record, the plaintiff's experts can rely on plaintiff's testimony that he was ordinarily prudent and that he made an effort. And that goes to the alternative, right? They say the alternative could have been just as bad because you could have just not put a nut on it, right? Again, that would go against the plaintiff's testimony in that hypothetical, and it would be construing all reasonable inferences in the defendant's favor as the moving party instead of in the favor of the non-movement. I think it's important to look at this gazillion comment. What our expert Rasty was talking about was he was saying it takes so little force to pull this off that anything could have done it, right? That essentially it could come out on its own. That's where that gazillion comment is. He wasn't saying that, you know, a squirrel flew in, grabbed it, and pulled it off. He was talking about how bad the defect is. Then on the alternative being superior, our experts extensively testified about the alternatives being superior and safer. Avalon on pages 70, 73, 125, and 126. Rasty on pages 96, 100, 101, 102, 105, and 110. And then Rasty also tested the alternatives to demonstrate that they were safer. Then my last point, going to answering the question on the alternative designs that are actually being manufactured, their own 30B6 witness, who was their former president, testified, "We use this threaded option on other models with a nut that screws on. It is just as easy to use for consumers. It doesn't cost any more."
Okay. We understand your case, Mr. Autry. And we're going to be in recess until tomorrow.
All rise.